Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, week two of high school football tonight across Kentuckiana. And of course, we'll be live beginning at 6 o'clock with complete coverage. We've got all angles covered in week two of football tonight here on the Big X. So we hope that you'll rejoin us tonight for our coverage of Southern Indiana football. The guest lineup for today on this Friday program presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us after we do some news and headlines in the opening segment will be Andy Bottoms filling in for Jared Morris. That segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Jared is on vacation this week, but that's fine because Andy is kind of became the IU guy out there that does bracketology, and he does a pretty doggone good job of it on the Inside the Hall website. And so with all the change right now, the NCAA doing away with the RPI ratings that have played a major factor in seeding and teams that get in and don't get in now for a number of years, going with a new NET formula that they've come up with. And I say formula loosely because while we know some of the major components of that formula, we obviously do not know the actual formula. They've not released it. But interesting to talk a little bit about that with Andy Bottoms. And again, we're talking about a formula, a system for postseason basketball in March, but it's college basketball, a sport that we all love. And Andy's a good person to talk about this change and what leaving the RPI behind means and some of the issues that maybe this could cause or some of the changes that could come because of this. So that's one of the things we'll catch up with Andy Bottoms when he joins us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Also, we'll talk about the schedule a little bit more, and we'll talk about the upcoming season with Andy when he joins us for a conversation about IU basketball later in the program. Then Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join us. Some basketball recruiting with Kyle, some high school football with Kyle. There's a big game as far as Indianapolis football and Louisville football goes tonight. That is Warren Central coming down to take on Trinity. Of course, Warren Central has been a powerhouse in football, one of the biggest schools in the state of Indiana. Trinity has been the school in Louisville, the school in Kentucky, and at times the school in the Midwest as far as high school football goes. They got off to a bad start last week. They actually lost up at Carmel, so they'll look to play their second Indiana team of the year. They'll look to pick up their first win of the season. We'll talk a little bit about that matchup. I know that there's a lot of interest in that game. It's going to be on ESPNU, so some of you that maybe aren't going to make it out to the game will be able to track that game on ESPNU tonight. And a little other high school football stuff with Kyle when he joins us for his segment. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I want to, before we get into some headlines, give you a reminder. We've got Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X Sports Radio. All of the coverage tonight starts at 6 o'clock. If you've never been with us on Fridays, we really try to cover everything across the area as far as the football scene goes. At 6 o'clock, we'll have a one-hour kickoff show. It's kind of our preview for the night, all of the games, not just one specific games, and not just Southern Indiana games. We preview the big games on both sides of the river in the kickoff show. Tonight on the kickoff show. I'll have John Spears, the voice of St. X football. He's a great voice as well on Louisville area football. We'll preview some of the big games across the river with John. Greg Mengelt of the News and Tribune will kind of break down each of the Southern Indiana games in Clark and Floyd counties tonight. And Kent Taylor of Wave 3 Sports will talk a little bit about both sides of the river tonight, including a little extra about Warren Central Trinity. That's all tonight in the 6 o'clock hour on our kickoff show. That show is live on the Big X. It's live on 93.9 The Ville. And then at 7 o'clock, if you're listening on the Big X, we will have roaming coverage of some of the big games in Clark and Floyd counties tonight. Our feature games this evening will start with Floyd Central and Providence, that game at Floyd Central tonight. That's a big rivalry game. Justin Kalen will have the call of that game for us on the Big X. Also, Lee Kelly is going to be at the New Albany Castle game, the Bulldogs hosting Castle tonight, and he'll have regular updates and play-by-play if necessary from that contest. And we'll be tracking Glycod's coverage of Charlestown and Brownstown tonight. That's a big Mid-Southern Conference game. The Pirates got a big win a week ago over rival Silver Creek. They'll look to see what they can do now against the best in the conference tonight. So those are the three big ones. There's some other games we'll talk about here in a minute. But if you want to keep up to date with those games and hear all the scores on a regular basis from 7 o'clock on, that's what our coverage will look like. Then, when the games are over with tonight, we'll have scores, highlights, results, a lot of call-in reports with coaches and media folks, and also some radio announcers from the different schools on our scoreboard show, which is also live on the Big X and live on 93.9 The Ville, which means we'll be covering things on both sides of the river. So a great way to start the night of high school football, no matter if you're a Southern Indiana guy or track everything across the river as well. At 6 o'clock, we'll have, again, starting at 7, coverage of all the big games in the area. And then after things wrap up tonight, we'll have scores and highlights and everything you'll want to know for week 2 of high school football on the scoreboard show. 5-plus hours of local coverage is what we bring to you every Friday here on the Big X. So make sure tonight, even if you're at a game, make sure you take those earbuds. Make sure you find a way to stay in touch with us, stream us, listen on your radio, whatever you need to do, because we'll be giving you updates from all the other games. If you're not going, of course, it's a great way to relax on a Friday and check out everything going on with Southern Indiana football in what should be a very interesting week, too. I'll go through the full schedule and some of the highlights of tonight's games coming up here in just a few moments. Now, let's get into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. In addition to all the football stuff going on tonight, one of the interesting things to watch for is Isaiah Stewart. He is from Rochester, New York, but he plays at La Lemire in LaPorte, Indiana. He posted yesterday on his social media that tonight, to Friday night sometime, no specific time listed, he will be cutting his list down to from a final 10 to a final 6 tonight. So we'll see if Indiana, who was on his final 10 as one of the 6 schools to remain in the picture for Isaiah Stewart, who again is not from Indiana but will play his high school basketball again this season for La Lemire in the far northwestern corner of Indiana. So we'll see that final 6 tonight. No specific time set, but he is set to make that announcement later this evening. Also, new 24/7 sports rankings out yesterday in the 2019 class, now that all the AAU ball and some of the summer things have wrapped up for the season. Speaking of Isaiah Stewart, again, he's not from Indiana, so he doesn't play with a local team or doesn't spend a lot of time in the state. During the summer, he played with the Albany City Rocks in the Nike EYBL, but he is now ranked 7th, so his previous ranking was 6. He goes down a spot in the national rankings. Also, Matthew Hurt, he's went down a spot as well from 7 to 8. Keon Brooks Jr., he was 9, now he is 12, so he goes down a few spots. Trace Jackson Davis is the first player to go up. He was 19th in the country in the 2019 class. In the previous 24/7 sports rankings, he's now jumped 5 spots to number 14 in the country for the Center Grove player from Greenwood Indiana. Also, Trey Mann, he was 31st. He jumped up to number 23, so he is someone from the Villages High School down in Florida that Indiana has been on for a while. Zeke Ng, he's now dropped two spots from 29 to 31. And that's just kind of a summary of some of the top guys. I do want to mention Trendon Watford. He took a drop in the rankings. He was 16th in the previous 24/7 rankings. He dropped 20 spots on the nose down to number 36. Of course, he's the younger brother of Christian Watford that plays high school ball for Mountain Brook down in Birmingham, Alabama. Those are some of the top names. James Booknight as well. He jumped up from 85th in the country to 73, so a 12-spot increase for him. Brandon Newman jumped from 147 to 117. No surprise of that with the summer that he had. Armand Franklin did drop. He was 137th. Previously 155th now in the country in the senior class. So just an overview of some of the names that we talk about, some of the names that we mention the most in the 2019 class. But Isaiah Stewart, who I just said will cut his list down to six tonight, he would be the highest at this time prospect that Indiana is involved with at the number seven ranking in the 2019 class. Again, this is all according to 24/7 Sports and their new 2019 rankings. A couple people reporting based on sources yesterday, some NBA rules. And again, we don't talk a lot of NBA, but I did think that this was interesting. The NBA Board of Governors will vote on September 20th and 21st at their meetings on three potential rule changes, which would begin this upcoming season. And, of course, NBA preseason ball begins in October, and things really get rolling in November and December. So these changes potentially could take place very soon. Number one, a shot clock would reset to 14 seconds instead of 24 seconds after an offensive rebound. And I really like that. I think that is what they do in most of the FIBA and the European basketball. Also, simplification of the clear path foul rule and an expanded definition of hostile act for instant replay to give officials more ability to look at replays for hostile acts that take place in or around a NBA basketball game. So three interesting changes. I really like the idea of the shot clock resetting to 14 seconds instead of 24 after the offensive rebound. That obviously is the big rule change that could potentially be voted on or decided on coming up later in September. Also, high school football tonight, week two. We'll learn a lot more about what's going on with teams in the area. A lot of interesting games tonight. I told you yesterday when Lee Kelly was with me, I think Castle at New Albany could be the best game of the night. And I mean, I could see it being a shootout, a lot of scoring and a back-and-forth battle. That's the game that Lee Kelly will be at to provide updates and play-by-play from on our Kentuckiana Football Fridays coverage tonight. I think it could be a tremendous game. It's obviously a big test for New Albany. They host Castle, who's always a solid program coming out of the Evansville area in high school football. Last year, New Albany was really close. They challenged Castle most of the way through the game, and we'll see what the final mark is tonight. But no question about it, we'll find out more about this New Albany team and if they're for real when they host Castle tonight. It's one of our three games that we'll really be focused on. Also, Providence at Floyd Central, that's a rivalry game today. Floyd Central with a tough start against Louisville Mail, always a good opponent to start the season. Providence, obviously, likewise, a 2A school taking on 5A New Albany last week. This will be their second 5A team in 2 weeks. But again, it's one of those rival games. We'll see if Providence can compete a little better with Floyd Central. We'll see what Floyd Central is made of after Mayo was able to handle them last week. So that's another game we'll be focused on. Also, Charlestown at Brownstown. I mentioned that, a big Mid-Southern Conference battle for early season supremacy. This game will mean a lot to the MSC Conference. Charlestown's confidence is sky high after the win over Silver Creek a week ago. They'll play at Brownstown tonight, who is obviously always at the top of that conference. They open up a new turf field tonight, so you know that Brownstown will be on a hive to debut that new turf field that they have this season. Other games will be tracking. We'll see Seymour at Jeffersonville tonight, Clarksville at Eastern Pekin. This could be a real opportunity, if there is one on the schedule, for Clarksville to pick up a long-awaited win in high school football tonight with the game at Eastern Peak. And nothing is for sure. Again, a fairly even matchup, I think, on paper. This could be a big one for the Generals if they could find a way to the win column after a long, long period of not winning any high school football games. Salem is at Silver Creek tonight. Rock Creek goes to Indianapolis Howe. And another game, of course, we'll be tracking is Warren Central at Trinity. From Indianapolis, they'll come down to take on Trinity in Louisville tonight. The game will be on ESPNU. There's been a lot of hype around the game tonight, and we'll be tracking in on things as well. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Make sure you stop by Hoopsters for great specials, great environment, and Hoopsters, it's where fun happens. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with our first guest of the day. It's Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll talk about the new NCAA NET formula as opposed to the RPI. We'll talk IU basketball for the upcoming season as well. Coming your way next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday edition of the program. Jared Morris is out on vacation, which means we get the chance to hear from Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off or come stay a while once the kids are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. And Andy, I got to tell you, it's perfect timing for Jared to be out and for you to join us today, because the RPI are no more. Those ratings are no more in consideration for NCAA postseason basketball. The NCAA announced a new evaluation tool, abbreviated NET, for the upcoming season. And they've announced some of the, I guess, the major factors in what the tool will consist of. But the actual formula itself is kind of unknown still at this point. So with that, I'm curious your thoughts on this, what I think is a big change by the NCAA.
I think it's a step in the right direction in terms of moving away from the RPI, because I think it's going to start to take, you know, the RPI, these metrics tend to get bucketed into two groups, one of which is results-based, which is what you'd say the RPI is. So basically, who did you beat? Where did you beat them? Things like that. And the other is the more predictive metrics, so the KenPom, Sagarin, those kinds of things. And so what it sounds like this new metric is trying to do is to mesh those together a little bit. So I think in theory, it gives you a little bit more well-rounded view of a team looking at it different ways. It doesn't completely step away from the wins and losses mattering, but it does give some weight to, you know, some of these predictive metrics. The hard part, as you said, is, you know, the formula is not being released, at least not at this point, or really very many specifics about it in terms of, you know, some kind of pillars, I guess you could say, that it's based upon. And so without that, you don't really know how much, you know, what factors get what weights and how much those things matter. But I think overall it's a step in the right direction. I'm not sure, you know, remains to be seen how much it'll impact the seeding and selecting of teams, because there's the committee is still going to group, you know, wins and losses in the same ways. It's just now going to be based on where you and your opponent rank in the NET versus where you did in the RPI. So at the end of that, I don't know how much that really, really matters. But it's certainly, from a bracketology perspective, will be intriguing to figure out what it actually means, what it looks like, and how it gets used.
Yeah, that was my next question. How will it affect, and Andy, you've done some very accurate bracketology in recent years, but how will it affect guys that do bracketology? Will this be a learning curve this season? And maybe could we expect not the accuracy that some guys have been able to really have some success with over recent years?
it will definitely be a challenge, if for no other reason than until the point when other people start to get a hold of what the formula is or how it's calculated. You're very reliant on the NCAA releasing the metric and how frequently they do it. So there are a lot of people who have been able to replicate the RPI over time that you can go and look at their sites whenever you wanted, some of which were in real time, to really look and see how things change. Well, now, at least on the surface, nobody else is, you know, it's kind of a proprietary formula for the NCAA. And so they'll be, you know, running the metrics on their own. I think they said they'd start in November, December doing them weekly, and I think that eventually become daily. So you're definitely more reliant on them, fewer places to get the information. I think from an actual selection standpoint, you know, they're going to cite quality wins and quadrant one wins and things like that. And the only thing that's changing with that is how you determine who falls into what quadrant. So the actual team sheets that they look at are not going to change based on what I understand. And so in that case, it's really just used to be the wins were bucketed by here's where the team you played was ranked in the RPI. And now it's going to be here's where the team you ranked. Here's where the team is ranked in the NET. But in that regard, we're still going to be talking about quadrant one wins and things like that. It's just a slight change to how things get put into those buckets. So I'm not saying it's not going to be challenging, because I'm sure that it is, and how different committee members interpret that. But what they really kind of hung their hat on is, you know, who you beat, number of quality wins. And we're still going to have those numbers to go off of. They're just going to be based on something a little bit different.
We're talking with Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call, presented by Coffee Crossing, and Andy filling in this week for Jared Morris. I tell you, the schedule's out, the full schedule, non-conference, Big Ten conference, we know it all, and it's been really fun to look at that all week and discuss that with our different guests throughout the week here on the program. One of the things that I haven't really mentioned much, obviously it came up when we were going through the Big Ten schedule when it was officially released earlier this week, but one of the things I really applaud the Big Ten on is these protected rivalry matchups that means Indiana and Purdue will play twice a year, one at Assembly, one at Mackey. But even farther than that, they have regional opponents that make sure that over a period of years you're going to play regional opponents more often than not. And I think it just a couple things they've done with the scheduling make a lot of sense. I know there was some concern about the 20 games, and I think we'll have to see how that plays out over this year and the next couple of seasons. But the protected rivalries, the regional games, big steps forward, I think, from the Big Ten Conference as far as scheduling goes.
Yeah, I mean, the rivalry stuff to me is just a no-brainer, and to have ever gotten away from those doesn't make a lot of sense. I remember it's been years ago, but it was one of the first years that they went to the more unbalanced schedule. And it might have been the first year that IU and Purdue didn't play, and they played what was essentially a non-conference game, I believe, at the RCA Dome at the time. I remember going to that and being like, this is just kind of weird to not have on campus and to feel like you have to do this in order for these teams to be able to play twice. So I think that one, from a common sense standpoint, was a good move, and I don't think it's certainly based on other decisions we've seen from the Big Ten and the NCAA. You cannot assume common sense, so I'll applaud them for making a common sense move for sure. And then, you know, the other thing I was kind of surprised by, and I think you start to see a little bit of just how much having that Big Ten tournament a week earlier in New York impacted the schedule and the turnarounds last year. In my head, I was thinking, all right, well, you're adding two games, you're doing all these things. And one of the things that was such a struggle last year was you had these, you know, one day off in between games very frequently. And for IU, that doesn't happen at all this year. I haven't looked enough at other Big Ten teams to know, but I think that's been minimized at the very least. And so even with adding two conference games, it doesn't necessarily feel like it felt last year where the games are just stacked right on top of each other, one after the other. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, turnarounds with 2 days in between, but I would argue that, you know, if you go back to the kind of old Big Ten schedule when most everybody was Wednesdays and Saturdays, that's, you know, you had 2 days in between those. So that to me is not overly challenging. So it does feel like they've done a better job with some of that. I'm sure you've talked a lot about the, you know, that stretch of playing 6 of 8 on the road, which is probably one you might point at somebody and say, hey, you probably could have done something a little bit different here. But I think overall, just in terms of frequency of games and protecting those rivalries, there's definitely some good things to talk through with that.
Andy Bottoms of the Assembly Call, our guest this segment, presented by Coffee Crossing. You know, looking at the Big Ten Conference, I guess we've been talking about where some of the early over the summer predictions have Indiana at. It's really been across the board, but now that the schedule is out, I think you can at least take another step forward in maybe breaking down the conference with some feeling that you can comprehend it. Obviously, a lot of incoming players, a lot of returning players that have made gains and will take on different roles, not just at Indiana, but for different teams. So still hard to fully comprehend it all. But when you got the schedule in front of you and you can see the lay of the land, I do think maybe now it becomes a little more appropriate to start trying to break down the conference. I saw Sports Illustrated have their summer Big Ten power rankings, and they had Indiana at 4, which I think is very respectable. And if I had to sit down and put a pencil to it, that might very well be where I would place the Hoosiers at this point of the offseason as well. The most surprising thing about that, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look at them, but they had Michigan State first, no surprise there. Michigan second, no surprise there. I think it'll be potentially an all-Michigan battle for the top of the Big Ten Conference. But they had Nebraska third in front of Indiana. I know Nebraska had a late-season push last year and returned a lot of their top scorers, but that was a little surprising to me.
Yeah, they're a hard team to get a read on. They finished with a good record last year. They didn't make the tournament, and I think deservedly so, because the way that the unbalanced schedule worked for them is they didn't really get a great – they didn't get many cracks at some of the better teams in the league, and when they did get cracks at them, they didn't beat them. And so you kind of spin that forward and say, all right, well, a team comprised largely of the same players, are they really going to be – how different is that going to be? Can they get over the hump against those better teams, assuming that they play, more of them? And so I think that is certainly an interesting one to me. I'm not as high on them as some other people. I was a little bit surprised to see that. Although I would also say that I think teams 3 through 8 in the league are, and maybe even 2 through 8, quite honestly, I think they're bunched pretty closely together. And you really start to see a drop off after that. So yeah, I probably wouldn't have had them as high. I may have slapped Wisconsin with in that Sports Illustrated with where they had Nebraska, but I doubt that they believe there's a ton of separation between that kind of team, that set of teams just below Michigan State, who I think most people are probably picking to be the favorite.
Absolutely, an all Michigan battle. Perhaps I think Michigan could be strong again this year. Your thoughts kind of on the conference, again, now that the schedule is out, maybe you can take a little more accurate view of what to expect. But Michigan State, I think we all agree on, as you mentioned. What else about the Big Ten Conference intrigues you for the upcoming season?
I do think it's going to be really competitive, and I'm hopeful that last year's league was incredibly top-heavy with, Michigan State, Purdue, Michigan really being – kind of a cut above everybody else. And I think that this year, while, the highs probably won't be as high for the teams at the top of the league, I do think there's going to be a lot of parity within that, within those top 8 teams. And that's where the schedule really can, can kind of help make or break you as far as that goes. But, and I haven't honestly had a chance to look through a whole lot of which of those top teams have, double plays versus single plays with different people. But I do think, those a decent amount of turnover within some of the top teams. Michigan State lost a decent amount. Michigan lost 3 of their top 4 scorers. Nebraska has a lot of people back, but there's questions. IU had a big senior class, so they get Romeo. Wisconsin was a bit down and injured, but they have a lot of guys back. Maryland, I think, was an initial pick for a lot of people to be toward the top of the league, but some of the guys who declared to go pro there, it's interesting. Purdue, I think, is interesting because they lost a lot and have Carson Edwards. And Ohio State, what do they do? I mean, those top 8, to me, while there are a lot of questions, I think there's a lot of reason to believe that you could see, 7 of those teams make the postseason. And I think, a lot of those teams in that area kind of beating up on each other once we figure out what those questions are. And I think it's one of the reasons I like IU's early, those 2 December games. They play Northwestern and Penn State, not expected to be 2 of the top teams in the league. So maybe you get a little bit of a cushion under your belt as you move forward with that versus, I think, Purdue plays Maryland and Michigan. That's one of the, kind of tougher 2-game December stretches of any Big Ten team. So maybe they get knocked off a couple times before they figure out how they're going to look without those guys. So I think it'll be an exciting year for the conference and a lot of unknowns for sure based on those questions. But I do think the top 8 of the league is going to be pretty tough and pretty competitive.
Speaking of excitement around the IU program, obviously a lot of it revolves around incoming freshman Romeo Langford. You have tracked and covered and followed the IU program for a number of seasons. Who do you have to go back to in your mind to come anywhere close to equaling or getting close to the type of excitement that has surrounded the entrance of Romeo to Bloomington?
I mean, I think you almost have to put it in the context of it being a guy from Indiana, which limits it a little bit. But I would say, I mean, the two that immediately came to mind in recent memory would be Cody Zeller, just because of what his commitment meant for, at the time, what was a relatively new coaching staff. So I think the parallel between that is fairly interesting as well. It's early in Archie's tenure. To grab a top-rated guy out of the state is there. If you want to look more positionally and maybe what they could be as a scorer, then it's probably Eric Gordon, who really came in and was you know shooting guard from day one and scored really well, which is something that he's going to need Romeo to do is score points, and that's what people are looking for him to do. So those are the two that I would say. In recent memory, are the most like it. Maybe one a little bit more from a positional standpoint, and one more from a meaning to the program standpoint.
Andy Bottoms, Assembly Call. Our guest this segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're out looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about our sister company, which is 410 Bakery. Great coffee, great bread and pastries, now serving breakfast and lunch. That's 410 Bakery in downtown New Albany. Andy, thanks for the chat. Great job filling in for Jared, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
All right. It was a pleasure as always, Matt.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, a little high school football. We'll talk about the big Warren Central at Trinity game tonight. That's going to be a big one on ESPNU. We'll talk a little basketball as well. All coming up next with Kyle after this on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Friday show, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, our guest. And when we talk about high school football in week two, Kyle, there's a big game involving a power from Indianapolis, a power from Louisville. That's Warren Central coming down to play at Trinity tonight in Louisville, a game that'll be live on ESPNU, getting some big notoriety, not just locally between the two states, but on a regional and even national level. It should be, if you look on paper at the talented matchups that exist both ways, it could be a really talented, top-level high school football game tonight.
It should be really good, and remember to set your DVR. I almost said VCR, but I guess those days have passed. But your DVR, we'll all be out at different games everywhere tonight, but I think that'll be worth checking out tomorrow morning or later tonight if you get a chance. It's actually a 6 o'clock start, so a little bit earlier game. I think games like that, and Carmel beat Trinity last week and ended their long winning streak. So wins like that are, you know, sometimes I'm more interested in what happens with teams playing each other from in the state than kind of these type of games. But in this particular game, it's sort of a state pride type of thing. It's let's see how our best does against one of the best, if not the best, traditionally from Kentucky. So, those games are, they're big regional games and a chance for not only, teams to get recognized, but individual players like, you'll see David Bell. I'm sure they'll talk a lot about him tonight on the show, on the program during the game. So guys like that get a chance to get shine a little bit individually. Jaden George, their quarterback for Warren Central. So, from that standpoint, it's a cool thing. It's good to see, Indiana schools get recognized like that and get a chance to play. And, of course, you guys saw it down there in basketball when ESPN came in and did a game there at New Albany. I guess they did a couple of games, another one at Newcastle last year. But those opportunities are good, and you know, you get more eyeballs on the product, and hopefully it's a, you know, for this, for the sake of football around here, you know, you kind of hope Warren goes down there and performs well and gets a win. I know last year they were really disappointed. They got beat by 1 point against Trinity, kind of a controversial 2-point play that looked like the ball was in the end zone and it was called short, but those things happen, and it was a tough loss. But a chance to get revenge tonight, and should be a really fun game and a unique opportunity to be on ESPN.
Kyle, you mentioned ESPN in the gym or in the football stadium tonight, as they'll be in at Trinity. But, you know, for as many times as I've been in that New Albany gym, whether it's to watch a game, cover a game, be part of the program, whatever the situation was as a student there, even over the years, I've seen a lot of great games and a lot of great players and a lot of good things take place in that gym. But when you walk in, even in the afternoon with nobody in there, and there's ESPN banners and television platforms that typically don't exist and big cameras and all the things that come along with a high-powered broadcast, including the TV trucks parked outside, you know, where fans normally enter, it definitely gives a game a different feel for the players and for the coaches and for, I'm sure, everyone involved. So that is a unique memory that those that get a chance to experience that, just like they will tonight at Trinity when they walk in that stadium for the first time. It's just a handful of cameras and it's a handful of banners and maybe some ESPN personalities around. Not a lot, really, but it sure makes a big difference and it sure gives the game a unique feel.
Oh, it does, yeah. And I had a chance several years ago. Carmel played Cathedral in a season opening game on ESPN for football, and Morgan Newton was the quarterback for Carmel at the time, and he won Mr. Football that year. And Cathedral had Kofi Hughes, who went on, played at IU, and had a good career in college, but he was a quarterback for Cathedral, a really good one, became a really good one. But I had a chance to kind of go behind the scenes with ESPN, you know, be in the truck, talk to the you know, the on-camera talent, and you know, do some stuff that's a little bit different, I guess, than I would normally do just to cover a game. You know, kind of get a sense of what goes on behind the scenes as they cover these high school games. And you know, I thought it was interesting throughout the game. You know, Kofi Hughes at that time was not a very known player at all. He's making his first start at quarterback, in fact. And as the game went on, you know, you could tell, you could kind of see, okay, this guy's going to be pretty good. The announcers started talking about him a little bit more. And, of course we, you know, he became a player who people did know later on, but, I just thought, you know, from that standpoint, you may be there, ESPN cameras may be there for somebody else entirely. And another guy shines, and, you know, that's something that, you know, he'll never forget. And, you know, just being on ESPN, they can always look back at that and say, hey, we were on ESPN. You keep, you know, you're able to hold on to that memory and you know, keep that memory recorded, and something unique that doesn't happen, sure, for very many programs, but does come along every once in a while, and you know, hopefully, you know, you can take advantage of it and not put too much pressure on yourself and go out there and have a great game.
Talking with Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, along the lines of the Warren Central Trinity game tonight, David Bell obviously is a familiar name because of his basketball successes, but football is really his bread and butter. That's the sport where I'm sure his scholarship will come from and where he is being recruited by some of the nation's top programs. Has there been any update to his recruiting? Do you have any sort of feel? I know Indiana is trying its best to stay in the mix with him, but any sort of feel on what his future could look like as far as college football?
Well, yeah, I've talked to him. I actually wrote about him last week. I covered the Center Grove Warren game, and Center Grove, or I'm sorry, Warren got a big win there at Center Grove, and David had a pretty good game. They used him out of the backfield some, and you know, they had him at cornerback a lot. They had him returning kicks. They had him obviously a wide receiver. So they're kind of using him all over the place this year. But I had a chance to write about him then, and. He's kind of playing the long game a little bit. He's not in any hurry to decide. I think he would prefer to just kind of wait till signing, closer to signing day, to make a decision. I know he's visited Penn State, and he has plans to go back there for a game. I believe it's in later in September. And then Purdue is also really they're in that top five, like you mentioned, with IU, Iowa, Ohio State. Those five, all Big Ten schools, are in his top five. You know, personally, and this is just me, this is nothing he said, I think Penn State is a school that he really likes a lot, you know, and he's been out there a couple times now. You know, if you had asked me this several months ago, I probably would have said Ohio State. But, you know, I still think there's those other schools are in the mix. I don't think he's necessarily decided anything. David's a kid who really loves the high school experience. I can tell you that from firsthand knowledge. He loves being at Warren Central. He loves competing. You know, he's as competitive in basketball as he is in football, you know, from a lot of standpoints. He's obviously a bigger prospect in football, but you know, he loves to compete, and he's going to get everything out of his high school career. And I know he's looking ahead. Obviously you have to, at this point, to what's going to happen in college, but I don't think he's under the gun of feeling like I got to make a decision here and before my spot's taken. He's in a pretty good position where, you know, they're gonna hold spots for him, and you know, there's not a whole lot of time left to do something. But you know, I think he's pretty comfortable with these five schools, and I really think, you know, I think Purdue's got a shot at him. I haven't heard as much about IU with him, but I think those in-state schools are appealing in a lot of ways, and I know he has talked a lot about Purdue. So even though he's got, you know, Penn State and Ohio State are the big dogs, obviously, and tough to beat from a national perspective, but I think there's part of him too that, you know, he's an Indiana kid, and part of that appeals to him about his name being known here already too.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Kyle is with us on Fridays, a lot of high school sports, a lot of football and basketball recruiting as well. I do want to catch a couple basketball topics, Kyle, before we get out of here on this Friday. Cathedral, in Armand Franklin, down to three. He's going to visit all three of those schools before making a decision, and he has an official visit that begins today at Indiana. So he will be in Bloomington this weekend before going to Purdue the following weekend. I would say his recruiting process will really come to a close soon after he hits the three schools, the three finalists, and it's all going to start with a campus visit to IU this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how quickly it does resolve. There isn't a date set yet for Xavier. I found out this morning. I did talk to exchange messages with Armand a little while ago, you know, a couple weeks ago, and he at that point he hadn't set dates for any of them, but still Xavier's not a set date yet. So you know, we'll see what happens with that. You know, I thought Xavier has been really on him probably harder than anybody throughout this process, but we'll see what transpires. You know, those three schools obviously all good options for Armand, and you know, he's a big guard, strong physical player, and I think would fit well in the Big Ten or at Xavier. All three of those, I think, are good options for him. But, yeah, I would agree with you, Matt. I think that's probably something that will happen relatively quickly now.
And, again, at one time, and you're much more well-versed on his background and history as far as his recruitment goes than I am, but at one time, I think Xavier may have been saw as the leader for his services. He's had a long-time connection with Travis Steele back when he was an assistant recruiting him. Now, obviously, Travis Steele, the head coach and Indiana native of the Xavier program. More recently, there's a lot of people that would tell you Purdue maybe is the leader for his services. Any insight onto where things may stand, may stack up before he hits these visits?
Well, yeah, if you were to ask me, you know, these recruiting obviously changes and it's fluid. I would have said Xavier for sure would have been towards the top of his list, at the top of his list, you know, a couple months ago or before that. You know, now, you know, it's hard to say. Xavier has picked up a couple commitments here lately, although they're bigger players, you know, 6'8", 6'9", guys. I don't know what that, you know, that may change what they're looking at, you know. So if you get guys who commit, you know, you may kind of change course on a guy you had offered, but that offer may not be committable at this time. And I'm not saying that's the case here. It changes clearly. So, yeah, I would say, you know, because Purdue, kind of where they are with that class, they've got some in-state guys coming in 2019, you know, Isaiah Thompson, Mason Gillis. So, you know, that may help their chances with Armand. They don't have a shooting guard yet in that class. And so I've definitely got that feeling as well. And then IU, I think, you know, it kind of depends on what they want to do, how Armand feels about it. It's not that he doesn't have interest in him. They were a little bit later to offer him than the other schools were. But I don't think that matters necessarily now. And I think once he gets down there, most of the times when you get kids on a visit to Bloomington, they're going to be pretty impressed with it. And, you know, I know Armand's been there before, but of course, a little bit different when you're there for your official too. So, yeah, I think everything's still in play. And I would agree though. I think things have changed a little bit with who is perceived the leader compared to where it's at now.
Kyle, another thing on a basketball side you got to bring up is the Form Tip-Off Classic. We had Brian Snow with us earlier in the week to go through the field. It's another tremendous day of basketball to promote Indiana High School hoops, the top players, the top teams, and, of course, a huge matchup to wrap things up on that nightcap. It's going to be, Keon Brooks against Trace Jackson Davis, Center Grove against LaPorte La Lemire. Just an unbelievable matchup of a lot of talent. Another great day, and that's become, I know, one of your favorite events each year now in high school basketball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great day of basketball. And I know Brian had put together another good event, and he ended up being able to get that matchup that the Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks matchup, bringing in La Lemire. Now where Keon Brooks is playing, you know, to play Center Grove and Trace Jackson Davis. So it's not going to be for Mr. Basketball anymore because Keon Brooks is at La Lemire, and that's not a school that's eligible for to win those sorts of awards and Indiana All-Stars and whatnot. But it'll still be a really good game and a fun matchup. And you kind of get to see these guys go head-to-head, and that's kind of what to me these events are all about. Even though it's a team game, but you know, I think everybody looks forward to seeing who's these top 15 guys in the country and want to see them go against each other. And I think that's something people remember, to see those players battle it out. But you know, he's got another loaded lineup and looking forward to seeing, you know, all those teams really and how they compete against each other. It's become kind of a can't miss day on the schedule. Even if you can't get out there to all the games, you know, you get a chance to see a team like Carmel or Jeffersonville's there, obviously, playing against Carmel and of course games throughout the day. But it should be a great event again.
And I mentioned earlier in the program an update of the 2019 ratings as far as player rankings go by 24/7 Sports. And a number of players that Indiana has some connection to maybe had dropped a couple spots. And again, that's no big deal. Just things move up, things move down as the course of recruiting goes and the high school season, the travel seasons go. But one of the players that took a significant jump, a five-spot jump in the right direction, was Trace Jackson Davis. He's number 14 nationally in the 2019 class, according to 24/7 Sports. So, Kyle, his stock continues to rise.
Yeah, I noticed that as well and saw that, and I think that's a good spot for him. The biggest thing with Trace is just being dominant, I think, and he's shown flashes of that. You know, you just like to see him just do it all. Easy to say, I guess, but just kind of play the way he can all the time, and just not that he doesn't play hard, but I think sometimes he maybe it's just kind of his personality where he's kind of an unselfish player, just kind of be that guy who can get you 30 and 20 every single night. And I think he can. I think he'll be that type of guy this year. He's shown flashes, and sometimes, you know, big guys take more time to mature, but I think he's getting there. And I think all the things that happened with him this summer, playing on the USA team and, you know, being in these big national games, that's only going to help him as he prepares for his senior season of high school. So You know, and also Center Grove with the guys coming back on offense for them as far as guard play go, I think that's going to be able to help him too. That's just overall, that's a good team, and not that your ranking is reflected on your high school season by any means, but I think that's only going to help him have a great senior year. So looking forward to seeing how he does and following his senior year and covering him a lot. I think it's going to be a great season for him.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Fridays. Great stuff, Kyle. Enjoy high school football tonight, and we'll do this again next week.
All right. Thanks as always, Matt.
All right. Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, a great way to wrap up the week each Friday, talking a lot of great high school and basketball recruiting topics with us here on the program. That's going to wrap things up for today. A reminder that I'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. It's Kentuckiana Football Fridays, our kickoff show. In the 6 o'clock hour, we'll feature previews of the big games on both sides of the river. We'll have John Spears, the voice of St. X football, to talk not just about tonight's St. X game, but about a lot of football topics across the area. We'll also be talking with Greg Bengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, about the Southern Indiana lineup of games tonight, and Kent Taylor of Wave 3 Sports will check in as well. So a busy 6 o'clock hour, which will turn into a hectic 7 o'clock on, as we'll be tracking New Albany Castle, Floyd Central Providence, Charlestown against Brownstown, and other games as well. It's going to be a busy but fun week two of high school football. When it's all said and done, the scores are final. We'll have our scoreboard show with interviews with coaches, media, radio broadcasters, all the scores you need to know from both sides of the river. So a very hopefully productive night here on the Big X. We invite you to join us for 5-plus hours of local coverage beginning tonight at 6 p.m. Don't forget, the show is always available as a podcast. If you miss any edition of the Hoosier Report, you can find us on SoundCloud. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Just point your browser for SoundCloud to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. For Apple Podcasts, you can type in the Hoosier Report, search for us, leave us a positive rating and review if you would. Have a great weekend. Join me tonight for high school football coverage here on the Big X. And, of course, I'll return Monday at 11 o'clock for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.